Welcome back to Citizen Bitcoin, the show where we guide you to becoming a better citizen of Bitcoin. I'm Brady.
I'm Tommy. Fire up.
Fire up.
Come
We're back.
They say that down in Louisiana. At least the guys.
Is that where you got that?
Yeah, from being out at the track at the horse
race. I figured it was a Purdue thing. Fire up horse, the boiler.
Yeah, that could be that.
That was my guess. That
could be that. No, it's just, well, fire up's just a general one that I like to do. And then, you know, come on is from, I can't do it exactly right, but it's from the Cajuns down in Louisiana, being out at the horse race track, the thoroughbred horse race track.
We got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about some news. As usual, take a quick look at the Bitcoin price. And then we're going to talk about dinosaurs.
That's right, dinosaurs.
Like,
they exist.
Jamie Dimonsaurus.
Yeah, and Charlie Munger and Nouriel Roubini and Paul Krugman.
Oh, yeah.
Dinosaurs as it relates to financial markets.
So, all right, let's jump right into the news then. All right, one of our favorite folks to follow on crypto Twitter is Pompliano.
Full Tilt Capital. He has right. He does a very nice job on Twitter. Very wide ranging.
He's the king of lists.
He is the king of. I don't know if he's the king of lists or not. But
well, I mean, he makes great Twitter lists.
He does. Okay. Well, but at the end of the day, he's very good. We would recommend him.
Right. So Switzerland, which has been leading regulating cryptocurrencies for quite a while, very progressive on that front, has also become the first government to issue guidelines on ICOs or initial coin offerings.
Right. And I think the key thing is that Switzerland's kind of going with this whole situation, understanding how important it is and what the impact is, rather than saying that you know, this is bad. This is really, really bad. And the reason it's bad is because, you know, you got some traditional people that have their gig.
Right.
And they don't want any changes, right? So they just go, and we'll get into that a little bit later in the dinosaur part of our show.
This is a pretty interesting way they decided to go about segmenting the ICOs. And it makes sense. And I think it might be a good model for other countries who are looking to do something like this.
Actually, very, very thoughtful in terms of the way they did it.
Yep. Makes sense. So we'll see if this ends up being a model for other countries like the United States. And in the recent Senate Banking Committee hearings, I know the chairman of the SEC did note that ICOs are mostly securities. In fact, he said, I think the quote was, he hasn't seen a single ICO that does not match the definition of security.
The other thing that subsequently come out of the whole situation with that hearing is just from the standpoint of everything that's going on in this particular area with these ICOs, it's almost like a fire hose spraying.
Yep.
You know, in terms of what's coming into the market, and then you've got it against or vis-a-vis the ability to that particular head of that area, the chairman, the ability of government to be able to regulate that because they don't have a lot of people.
Right. Next, Chris Bernisky, another crypto Twitter follow that we recommend.
Also, we also recommend he's got a book called Crypto Assets that's I think it's going to become a textbook or a handbook, almost like in corporate finance. There used to be a book called Brealey and Myers where you would determine it was a situation involved with cost of capital and things like that. It was like a Bible. So
crypto assets, definitely a good one to get on Audible or Kindle and read, along with others like The Internet of Money, Volumes 1 and 2 by Andreas Antonopoulos. The Book of Satoshi is really great. And we need to get into some book recommendations.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
We keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, we keep forgetting about that. But we read a lot. We love to read. So anyway, at least I do. I know Brady does, so I shouldn't be talking for him. But anyway, so reading's good.
Yep. So Bitcoin's hash rate growth is still in beast mode, as Chris Bernisky says. It's following that trajectory, and it has shown during this price downturn of Bitcoin no sign of any economic duress during that decline.
As they say, it's rolling.
It is rolling. And we've also got some other, you know, aspects of mining that are still very bullish. Samsung recently announced that they're going to start making ASIC chips, ASIC mining chips. ASIC stands for application-specific integrated circuit. So it's literally an integrated circuit, a chipboard that's printed to mine Bitcoin. So it just does one thing, SHA-256, which is the algorithm to mine Bitcoin over and over again. Dragon Mint is a company that's going to make miners, affordable miners for people to use at home, which would be great to distribute the mining a little bit more, decentralized mining. There's a hot market for used mining equipment as kind of people who are originally in the game, the OGs, are selling off their old stuff to people who are looking to get into the game and just run it at home. That's really interesting development. I'm thinking about picking some up myself and just experimenting for Citizen Bitcoin. All right, here's a really fun tweet, maybe my favorite tweet of the week. Elaine Au is a Bitcoin programmer, a coder, and she had set up this awesome project at home. Oops, check this out.
All right, so what's she doing?
Let's just watch. I don't really want to give it away.
Okay.
All right, so she's buying something on her laptop with Bitcoin on the Lightning Network.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Here she goes.
All right,
she's going to click this button to pay. There it goes. She just clicked pay. And look, it dispenses some food for her little chick.
You gotta be kidding me.
It was instant. And look how she's got it all set up. It was pretty cool. So
it actually is pretty cool. Are we sure that actually is what happened?
Well, you know, I mean, I trust Elaine.
Okay.
But we have to trust her in this
case.
We're
all about skepticism here at Citizen Bitcoin. We're both skeptical. I'm particularly skeptical, but you know, you got to go back to the source.
It's important to be skeptical.
So we're going
to
go ahead and say, okay, which is great. So that's fantastic. It's
cool. We have a trusted third party in this particular demonstration here, and it is Elaine, who I do trust. Do your own research. But that payment ostensibly went out onto the Lightning Network, bounced around some nodes, came back to her little food vending machine and fed her bird, which was really cute.
Fantastic.
Super fast. All right, let's take a quick look at the Bitcoin price. Here's a chart.
Now, what the heck is this?
I'm getting cute with my charts here. You know
what are those things right there?
What does it look like to you, Tommy?
It looks like rockets.
That's right. It's a rocket ship. That's the Bitcoin rocket ship. So this is
okay, everybody. Just want to let you know, I didn't have any input on this because I like to stay balanced on this stuff. So we'll have to hear what he has to say. We're out. How many? You're into April, right? Go ahead. So, I won't steal your thunder. So okay, this is your rocket ship.
So here's the pullback, right? And these are all moving averages here, following along 20, 50, 100, 150, so forth, all the way down.
Yeah.
All the way down to the 600 moving average, and you can see the different levels where the price kind of bounced off these moving averages. This wick right here touched the very bottom. And then we finally had the bounce back. So what I'm trying to figure out now is this a bull trap? Are we going to head back down some more?
Okay.
Or is this the recovery? Is this it? Was this the bottom and we're going to enter into
a
new
bull market? And apparently you think it's the recovery, right? Because otherwise wouldn't do a graph with rockets.
This is this is the bull case.
Rockets don't go the other way.
This is the rocket case.
Oh, okay.
I should probably publish, the bear case.
You're killing me with this, man.
I could do some little bears that like.
You're killing me.
You know, with some caves or something.
Did you talk to Parabolic Trav?
Parabolic Trav loved this graph.
He did.
Yeah, it got me a follow from him. Actually,
he did. Okay. Well, we love Parabolic Trav. I try to stay balanced here on Citizen Bitcoin.
I love Trav too. He's a good dude.
He's really good dude.
All right. Anyway. Is this the bounce or not? What I think is that we need to work above this key resistance level here. This one, which is about 11.5.
Okay.
11.5 to 11.8 range. We're going to see a lot of resistance, right?
This is Sunday morning here in the US, Central Time. So what are we on price right now?
Well, let's hit the play button and take a look.
Oh, okay.
So this was published a few days ago. And let me just
Do those rockets actually move when you go through the
zoom
different,
in here.
Do they
They're not animated, unfortunately. That's the next step, though.
Good God, bro. That's the downside.
The other thing to watch is we're forming what traders call a cup and handle. It could be a cup and handle formation here, right? So a cup and handle is literally...
Wow, you actually... Wow.
Shaped like a cup.
I was starting to make fun of it a little bit, and then you actually come up with this. You didn't tell me you were going to put this on
It's
here,
a legit thing. So it sounds silly, but it's legit.
And look
so,
at it, it's tea instead of coffee too, right? They don't mess with any coffee. All right, so this has got to be legit because they do an example of tea.
So we have the cup. It actually forms a cup shape, and then once it gets back up to this to test this previous high,
holy smokes, yeah.
There's a trader sell off before the breakout. So this is a very
common formation.
They don't
talk about rockets
formation
on there though, right? So that's just cup and handle specific. Okay.
So we gotta watch out for that. Might be happening right now. We might be starting to form the handle as part of the resistance to this key level.
Sure.
Once we've got a little bit of trade off here, then we'll zoom on. So we'll keep an eye out and we'll watch and see how this rocket path works or doesn't. And we've got this set in stone. So all we have to do is reload this page and click the play button anytime we want to check up on this rocket trajectory path here.
Good grief!
Oh man. Let's get into the dinosaurs here.
It's Charlie Munger.
Charlie Munger.
Bitcoin is noxious poison. It's disgusting.
Full of crooks. Avoid it like the plague. So
stay away.
For those of you
it's
who
poison.
For those of you who don't know who Charlie Munger is, he is Warren Buffett's partner
at Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, Berkshire Hathaway. And he's older, I think he's in his 90s now, right? And he's, just so
we're clear, an exceptional investor.
Absolutely.
Exceptional in terms of, and generally or almost entirely agree with his methodology. I think he's spectacular at how he looks at things. In this particular case, I just think, I don't know what, it's just mainly he just hasn't fully studied it.
Right.
So,
a lot of respect for Charlie Munger, brilliant minds. But he has earned himself a place atop, or maybe a leadership position amongst the Bitcoin dinosaurs.
Avoid it like the plague. And it's like who the hell knows what the plague is? In terms of a lot of people, I understand what it is. Do you know what the plague is from
that? Of course, yeah.
The bubonic plague.
The rats in London.
Yeah.
Although I've heard that the rats get an unfair blame for spreading the plague.
Why
that
is
it
that?
Was actually mosquitoes and fleas that were biting the rats.
Oh
and
my
now,
God.
Yeah, now, anyway, side, little side
Holy
digression
smokes.
There. Poor rats.
We're going to have to go
really,
study that
The plague
now.
Really trashed their...
Yeah, because otherwise rats are cool. There's some people that like rats, right? They have them as pets.
If only...
They're better than ferrets.
If only the rats had a good PR firm.
All right, we're digressing, sorry. It's poison!
It's poison! So, Charlie Munger said this earlier this week, and... we thought we'd take the chance to take a look at some of the other Bitcoin dinosaurs, the disbelievers. We've got quite a few, at least, of these skeptics here. And the Nakamoto Institute has a page called The Skeptics, which has has a chronology here.
Yeah, this is great, because look at this guy, whoever he is, yeah. 77 cents, don't buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, right? Can you imagine Bitcoin 77 cents?
No, but let's just keep going.
So 1,000 bucks, and you get 130 Bitcoins.
Here's another one down here, Peter Schiff,
yep.
$17.50. Now, yep. this guy's actually an investor. He actually invests people's money.
Bitcoin lacks its own fundamental intrinsic value.
So the one thing that people don't talk about, well, they don't really mention, is you've got there's no situation of, how wrong were you? You're telling, at least it's better off not saying anything and basically saying, hey, I don't know about Bitcoin.
Right.
I'm not going to make a call. Instead, they make a call. So this guy's, his first call, it's Peter Schiff's at $17.50.
The thing about this call in particular is that there's no difference between the criticism he's making about Bitcoin here and what you could say about the US dollar, right? It says you can't do anything with Bitcoin other than trade it for something you want. What else can you do? I mean, I guess you could make some origami with some dollar bills. Like we talked about that, right?
I love that one, origami.
Okay, I mean, it's useful for something. Paper is useful. But
maybe we should have a show where we make origami for a while. All right, but we're not going to do that. So look at this one. Bitcoin is dying. Let's fish through down further so we can get to some of these other characters.
Right. Point being, the U.S. dollar is the same way. I mean, as long as people are willing to accept it, right? The idea that money is a collective delusion. It's a collective story that we all accept.
Right.
Okay. And Bitcoin is the same as the U.S. dollar in that sense, but the criticism doesn't stand. It's the same as the U.S. dollar. It doesn't make any sense. And you still hear this one a lot. So let's get some other ones here.
Oh, look at this one.
Oh, yeah.
This one here is Bitcoin Bubble 2.0. $34.
Thus, we have the answer before us. Bitcoins are fiduciary media, or more specifically, token money. From a monetary standpoint, as devised and formulated by Ludwig von Mises, they are on par with stuff you find at Chuck E. Cheese's. Oh, the Chuck E. Cheese token.
Then there actually was a Chuck E. Cheese token, and some people that weren't paying attention actually lost a lot of money. But, you know, what are you going to do? You got to pay attention.
And these people, you know, these are smart people.
That one guy, Kurt Eichenwald, I mean, oh, let's not get into that guy. All right, so he has no.
Oh, we know.
Here's this guy here.
Yeah, he's a
214.
He's a current Bitcoiner.
He's a current Bitcoiner that said get out at $214.
Sure, I'm sure he's back in at this point. Kevin Rose,
VC guy. Kevin Rose.
Matt Iglesias.
Yeah, Matt Iglesias. Well, he's just a Vox
political
guy,
commentary,
right?
Commentator.
So what's he doing getting in? He was wrong too.
Here's Krugman's first claim right here.
Paul Krugman.
Bitcoin is evil. Just pulling no punches.
I like poison better. It's poison! Evil does more. Poison hits more directly.
Avoid it like the plague!
Noxious poison. You know, we have Krugman here. This was post the first 2013 run-up. So I think it got up to about $1,000, and now it's starting to fall. And of course, you know, they all come out of the woodwork when Bitcoin's in a big pullback.
Yeah, we're going
right?
down here. Jamie Dimon, $811.
First one, and of course, he was responsible for calling for some of the drop in the summer last year when some of the China stuff came out that China was going to ban cryptocurrencies. Mm-hmm. Jamie Dimon piled on by saying that Bitcoin is a fraud, and we had a pullback. But he was, you know.
And there's another one down at the bottom, Robert Shiller. He's a Nobel Prize winning economist. He's in at 560.
Yep. So is Krugman, of course. Nobel
and now
Prize
this
winner.
This NYU Nouriel Roubini, and I went to NYU. And got my MBA from NYU. But here you got a situation where he's in at 637, and what's happened over the last 2 or 3 months? He's just all in, just pounding on the fact that Bitcoin is not going to make it.
Yep.
And so you got a situation it's like the guy that's in the poker game that just keeps getting more money to bet against what's going on. I mean, just as an analogy, he's just decided that his assessment is correct. So he's all in against it. So this last go around, he's when it came off of the peak and dropped back down again. These guys are like, it's gonna go, it's gone, you know, it's pretty much over, and now
right.
Bitcoin continues to march on, and we'll just have to see.
Well, you know, so the criminal activities thing, you always hear that one. U.S. dollar is by far the most used currency by criminals,
and it's less than they did a study, and we'll have to find this. And this is yep. probably I probably shouldn't bring it up because it's anecdotal, but I read that it's less than 1%. In terms of related to Bitcoin.
Well, you'd really be an idiot to use Bitcoin at this point because for criminal activities, because it's not private, it's not anonymous.
It's a public ledger.
I mean, it's
they can ultimately figure, you know.
And companies like Chainalysis have gotten really good at looking at the blockchain and tracking people down. And that's how they found, what's his name? Ross Ulbricht, the guy who started.
I don't know. It's poison.
the guy that started the Silk Road, and that's how they found him and arrested him. So yeah, it doesn't make any sense to use Bitcoin.
So anyway, we can get off Roubini because we're getting too much time right now. So anyway, he goes through his whole
yeah.
thing.
Well, here's another one, right? It's not a unit of account. Well, Bitcoin is the unit of account in the cryptocurrency world. Every single other right. cryptocurrency is priced against Bitcoin, and of course, more things will follow as it becomes more and more used. Anyway, too volatile. It's a Ponzi scheme.
Well, how about that one there?
Yeah. Well, he's comparing it to
fanatics and lunatics.
Yeah, it's a cult
like religious.
So these are all the same arguments
paranoid.
That you hear from everyone. Mike Hearn. This is the famous Mike Hearn. Was an old school Bitcoin Core developer and quit and wrote this post about how Bitcoin's done. That was at $429 2 years ago. You've got, you know, it just keeps going on and on here. Next up, we found this great...
This is excellent.
This great video about Bitcoin. So I thought we'd go ahead and show this really quickly.
Yeah, show it real quick. How long is it?
And then I'm going to use this as a kind of a springboard to talk very briefly about Lightning Network
okay,
and
cool.
how it works and why we need
cool.
it.
Cool.
Using your normal bank card, This is what happens. I give my card details to the shop. The shop.
Internet.
Asks the bank if I'm good for the money. The bank checks its records to see if I've got enough in my account. If I do, it lets the shop know. It updates its records.
I'm thinking maybe they should have used a pencil instead of a pen, but that's all right.
It's an immutable ledger, after all.
Oh, that's true. Pen is better, I guess.
Now, if you wanted to remove the bank from that system, who else would you trust to keep those records and not alter them or cheat?
What's up with the penguin?
Well, I wouldn't trust you. I wouldn't trust you. In fact, I wouldn't trust any single person. But I might trust... everyone. The idea is,
I gotta say, the mask creeped me out a little bit.
I think it's perfect, though. No, that's perfect. I think it's perfect.
It's good. It just creeps me out a little bit.
Nah, come on.
Each owner,
or come on.
Each copy.
Fire up.
Every transaction. So, to buy something using cryptocurrency, I give the shop my details. The shop asks all the bookkeepers if I'm good for the money. The bookkeepers all check their records to see if I have enough. If I do, they tell the shop, and then all update their records to show the movement of money. So there's no way that a forged transaction can make it in. If I try to alter a ledger, it won't match all of the other copies.
Pretty sweet.
Oh, and one of them, at random, will be given a reward of some newly created cryptocurrency.
This oh, that guy won him back.
Work. And remember, all of these bookkeepers, all of these ledgers, they're not actually people. They're computers. Lots of computers.
Cool. So I think that is a very effective way to describe it.
We thought that was important. I think we're going to have to maybe mark that in the show so people can just go directly to it to see it. But anyway, that was put up by Dennis Parker.
So I thought this was a good way to kind of spring into why the Lightning Network is important.
Sure.
Okay. So one of the major limitations of this really cool and secure way to run a distributed ledger is that every transaction has to be broadcast to everyone else on the network, right? Which takes a lot of resources, it takes time. And if you want to just, you know, buy something on an everyday transaction and you want that to happen around the entire world and support, you know, billions of people and tens of billions of payments a day, then you need to be able to have a one-to-one or a unicast is what the programmers call it, a unicast transaction, as opposed to a broadcast transaction, which sends the transaction out to every single ledger on the network, right? So that's exactly what Lightning Network does, right? Lightning Network creates, it's analogous to the TCP/IP stack, which is the internet protocol, the base layer of the internet, which allows people to talk to each other or computers to talk directly to one another instead of broadcasting across the entire network, right? So here's a great article here, which I'll link to in the show note in the description below. The Lightning Network enables unicast transaction on Bitcoin and is Bitcoin's TCP/IP stack. So that is really important. And the way that it works is here's a depiction of a visualization of the Lightning Network as it is right now on the on the mainnet, on the Bitcoin mainnet. So this is live, real money, and it's working. What will happen is, let's say I want to send money from this node here over to this node here, all right? And the way it works is, instead of sending that transaction out to every single node on the network, like happens on the main chain right now, it will make a unicast transaction, which will send it directly to this person via the shortest route that it can find, the most efficient route it can find. So maybe it goes through these people and then it ends up at its destination. Only this person gets the transaction and all of these people are unaware of it, but it's still backed up by the Bitcoin main chain. So if anything goes wrong, if anyone tries to steal money or refuses to pay an invoice or anything like that, I can just settle out to the main chain, make a transaction on the Bitcoin main chain, and get my money back. And so this allows unicast one-to-one true peer-to-peer cash payments, as Satoshi Nakamoto subtitled the white paper, true peer-to-peer cash payments on the Lightning Network, person-to-person in a unicast program, unicast broadcast method.
So then the idea is, and I'm not as up to speed on this, I'm going to have to learn more about this. So the idea is it retains its immutability from the standpoint of, from a security standpoint.
Right. Well, yeah, the main chain is the way it functions does not change. And so the main chain is still immutable. The cool thing about it is that there's a lot fewer transactions
onto the main chain. You're on top of it. So this unicast idea is that it ends up, how does that work from the standpoint of it getting, I mean, so it goes directly back and forth by anchoring on top of the actual
Bitcoin
blockchain.
You can think about the Lightning Network like a checking account.
Okay.
So let's say you have your savings account is the Bitcoin main chain.
Okay.
It's maybe a little bit more expensive to use and you leave your money in there longer term.
Okay.
Right? You don't make a lot of transactions out of your savings account. Your checking account is built to be a low fee payment system, right? So it's got a low fee and you do lots of transactions in and out of your checking account. Okay. So the way you could, you know, function in the day-to-day world on the Lightning Network is I'll take some Bitcoin off the main chain and I'll put in, let's say, you know, $5,000 worth of Bitcoin onto the Lightning Network once a month. Those are my monthly expenses. And then I pay my mortgage, I pay my car payment, I pay for my groceries, and all that stuff.
Yep.
And that can go out. I can have one channel open to another node on the Lightning Network, and as long as there's a path to get to my grocery store on the network somewhere, I can pay that person. And then all of those transactions are low fee, right? And nothing is touching the main chain yet. So then when I'm done...
By low fee, we mean it can be like pennies.
Right. So then when I'm done for
US
the month,
dollars.
And let's say I have a little bit of...
Cents.
I have a little bit of money left on my Lightning Network channel, I have the option to close out that channel and put my money back onto the main chain. Or I can top up my Lightning channel at my checking account. I can add more money into it.
Okay.
And so it's basically like a checking account. And then let's say the grocery store wants to get their Bitcoin off the Lightning Network and put it onto the main chain into their savings account. At the end of the day, just like most businesses do now, they do a sweep and they settle, right? So this is similar to the way the payment system works now, in the sense that there's kind of this base layer called ACH, or SWIFT.
Uh-huh.
And then there's banks that do all the checking stuff.
Yeah, SWIFT is for a lot of international transactions, right? Settlements, payments.
So then when the store closes at the end of the day, they'll settle everything up. They'll send all those batch those transactions and send them to the settlement layer. And that relieves the settlement layer from being used for every single one of those little day-to-day transactions.
Right,
so that's basically how it works.
Anyway, thanks for that. So anyway, it's part of the show here, right? We're trying to, we're trying to learn about this stuff, and the way to do it is actually to try to explain it.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have for this week. You can follow us on Citizen Bitcoin.
Thanks, everybody.
On Twitter.
This has been a fun show.
Yeah, this has been good.
At Cannon's Call.
I got to shill us a little bit here. At Cannon's Call, at B. Swen. We are at Citizen Bitcoin on Twitter, at Citizen Bitcoin on Medium. Also here on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Hit that little bell to get notifications for when our weekly videos pop up. And leave us some comments. Let us know what you want to learn about, what you're interested in, and we'd love to cover it on the show. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everybody, for watching.